Okay, this week's parasha, Parshas Kisisa. Some beautiful ideas, some beautiful Divrei Torah. With Hashem, we should get through as many of them as possible. But right at the beginning of the parsha, second pasuk says, "Kisisa as Rosh Bnei Yisrael ifkudehem, v'nasenu ish kofer nafsho la Hashem ifkorosam, v'lo yeh behem negef ifkorosam." So first thing is we're taught that when we count Bnei Yisrael, each person should give a kofer nafsho. Okay, we learn obviously later on the next pasuk is a machzis shekel, but they should give a kofer nafsho when they're counted. V'lo yeh behem negef ifkorosam, in order that there won't be a negef, a plague, when they are being counted. Mashma, that if you don't give a machzis shekel, then there very well might be a plague. How does the machzis shekel, how does the kofer nefesh going to solve that problem? We'll get to that in 1 second. Let's first talk about the lashon of the pasuk, v'nasenu. V'nasenu, each person should give a machzis shekel. So right on the top of the sheet, we have the Gra, famously quoted Gra. The Gra says the following. The word v'nasenu, there are two things that are special about it. Number one, the tam, the trup on the word is a kadma v'azla. V'nasenu, kadma v'azla. Right? What is special about a kadma v'azla? Says the Gra, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, says the father. Amar b'chia lebedibitu, b'chia told his wife, ki asa anye kadam le rifta. When an ani comes to the door, you should get up, kadam le, get up and give him a piece of bread. Ki heichu de the kadmu lebanecha, in order that he will get up and give to your children. So, she said to him, Amar le, Meilat Laitati? What, you're giving me a curse? You're cursing my kids, they should be poor? You're telling me that I should give bread so that Mishram, that person, one day will be able to give bread to my kids. So that you means you're saying there's going to be a reversal of roles. That person I'm giving bread to become in a position one day where he'll have bread to be able to give to my children who I'm the one giving today. Why are you saying that to me? That's a terrible blessing, it's a terrible bracha. It's our child, it's our kids. So Amarla, he said back to her, Galgalhu shechuzer ba'olam. Adkan. He said to her, this is how the circle and cycle of life works. That's how it goes. The world is circular. Things, what goes around, comes around. There are different times, there are different kufos in people's lives. And that's how it works. It's just metzias. Adkan ha-gemara. What does that have to do with our diuk of the time hamikra the kabra vazla? Dine tevas v'nasnu nikra panim v'achor. Another special thing about the word v'nasnu is that you can read it frontwards or backwards. It says exactly the same thing. Vav nun taf nun vav. Okay, it's spelled and read forwards and backwards exactly the same. It's equal. Nikra panim v'achor ki gam hanosein yitzdarech lifamim sheyitnu lo chas v'shalom. The reason is it's written that way is to tip off or to tap in to hint at this point exactly what the Gemara there in Shabbos is talking about, which is that sometimes the nosein himself will need those to give to him, and that's why it's written backwards and forwards, because it's, like we said in the Gemara, it's a galgal chuzer. It goes back and forth. It's circular. One time it's this way, one time it's this way. It goes back, it goes forth, it switches from side to side. That is just how the world works. And that's why it's written dafka with a kadma v'azla. Akdimu rifta la'anya. Lashon Gemara. Akdimu. Get up. Do it quickly. Get up, the kadma. Get up, give bread to the anim. Ki heichi de le kadma levanecha. Lachain ata hekdem v'teno. In order that they will give to your children in the future, you should get up and be makdim now, the ani that's here now, give them bread. V'yelech, azla, v'yelech lefanecha tzidkecha b'term yusov hagagal banecha. And that maisa of tzidkus, and that maisa of chesed, that maisa of tztaka will go in front of you, it will walk in front of you, it will reach the kisei in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of your maasim tovim before the world, the ball, turns around and flips itself over, and your children or your grandchildren will be needy of that. At least your maisim, okay, you did, that went to Shemaim and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in front of him, he'll remember with your action that you were makdim the ani with bread, and that action will go up to Shemaim and stand and proclaim and test and be a testimony to your good deeds, in order that in the future generations they will be protected, they will be taken care of by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So two very important messages from this Gra. Number one, or two dukin. Number one, the word has a kadma of azla on it. Number two, it's written backwards and forwards. The Gra's idea is that that's exactly what we're trying to convey in this pasuk, is that you should realize that poverty or wealth are things that come and go, and they're not things that stay the same. And it is a gagal hachuzer, as the Gemara quotes, the gagal hachuzer. It's not a curse; it's just a metzias. That there are different times in people's lives. Sometimes we're on the giving end, and sometimes we have to be on the receiving end. And as long as we are makdim and we get up and we do the actions we're supposed to do, those actions will be azal. They will walk. They will go in front of us to Shemaim and be made and made its yosher on us for future generations, that they should be zoche to protection and to the needs that they have, that they will have to have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to take care of them. That's one. That's the Gra's idea. I was going to say just another idea that I think is in the Sfarim as well. V'nasenu, okay, is read backwards and forwards. Another message that a lot of the Sfarim say, V'nasenu, is that the reason why it's written backwards and forwards is because when you give, okay, by etzim giving, you also receive. And the more a person gives, the more he receives. So it's like going back and forth. It's like, how do you say, it bounces back at you. Okay, and that's what they talk about. That a person when a person gives, okay, they're not just giving. They should realize that when they give, they're actually, the more you give, the more you receive back from the giving itself. And we don't do it amanas lekado pras. We don't do it for that purpose. But we have a haftacha when a person gives tzedakah, when a person gives of himself, when a person gives to others, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him and will watch over him as well. So that's why it goes backwards and forwards, the same lashon, the same word of v'nasnu. Now, once we're on this idea about gagah hachozer ba'olam, I think we'll just tap in here a little later on the sheet. Go over to the left hand corner, to the middle, where it says the Chafetz Chaim al Torah. The Chafetz Chaim al Torah is a famous Chafetz Chaim. You may have heard it before, but it's worth, if you haven't heard it, it's worth saying over again. And if you have heard it, it's worth saying over again. Which is, the Chafetz Chaim quotes the Gemara. Pasuk says, "Hodieni nas drachecha Moshe Benu says to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, teach me your ways." The Gemara in Bracha says Moshe Benu was asking here the million-dollar question: how come there's tzaddik, the ralo, the rasha, the tovlo? Don't understand. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem to be consistent. There are people who have the same amount of good actions, lechora, and one of them is wealthy, and one of them is poor, and sometimes even the person who is an ani has even more ma'isim tovim than the asher does, and yet he's poor. And the other guy's rich. Doesn't make any sense. How come it looks like he's being taken care of, and he's being protected, and he's being watched over by Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the other one, not? Says the Chafetz Chaim, beautiful mashal, of a person who comes to visit a shul. A person comes for a week, he's staying in a particular neighborhood, and he goes to shul, and they get him to Kriyas HaTorah, and they start calling out the different aliyahs, and the guy is mamish perplexed. Doesn't understand what in the world is lying. The gabbai calls out two guys from the front, one guy from the right side, one guy from the back, two guys from the other side. It's a whole mishmash, and not only is he taken from different sides, like seemingly randomly, but not only that, but also there are people who are more mechubed and more chashuv who are not getting this, they're being bypassed for people who are much less chashuv, and he doesn't understand what in the world is going on. It's really not something you can comprehend. So the guy goes over at the end of davening. He says, I don't understand. Since the guy, I don't know what you were doing with the Aliyahs. Why do you go from all different sides? Why do you take from different directions? Why don't you call the people who are more important? Why don't you call the less people who are important? So the second paragraph says here, Heshiva pikech echad l'orech hazeh. So the smart guy says to the orech, listen up, buddy. Adoni ba l'shabbos achat. You came here for one Shabbos. That's it. The rotze ladas seder ha'aliyos v'techneses. You want to understand the one Shabbos here. You want to figure out why it makes sense that who got aliyos and why that's the order and why it shows from different directions. Ilu hayita po kama shavuot ze achar ze hayita ro'et ha'chaluka shel ha'gabay. If you would have been here a few weeks before, you'd stay here a few weeks afterwards, you'd be here for a little bit of time, you begin to understand what's going on. See a certain pattern, a certain chachma involved. Shayab Seder, we'll see in the first week, he called the Kohen and Levi from the right side. And now he's calling them from behind, from the south corner. And the Shlishi, last week he called from the Mizrach, now he's calling it from the Tzafon. Okay, different weeks, different things happen. V'chein adim b'koha aliyot. Midalega l'otam ha'anashim shekvar nikru, mazmin achim tachtem. That guy you were asking about, he got an aliyah last week. Of course he's chashev. The guy who's chashev doesn't get an aliyah every single week. We have different people in the shul also. And that is what the gabbai was doing, and that is the answer you give to this orech. What does that do with us? Kein hu mamish binyan. That's also what's going on in our case. Ha'adam ba le'olam hazeh l'regayim achadim. Ki kam mehem yimei shenotav. A person comes to this earth, to the world, he's here for a few days. When we say for a few days, we mean relatively speaking, to the world, okay? A person's life is a very, very small percentage of the time the world has existed. Okay? How many years can a person live? You may shivim shana, bimigro shmonim shana, and even if we say I may have esrim shana, okay, great. 120 years, okay? Out of 5,700 and gafet. So that's how much is that percentage wise? Not too much. Okay? It's a small pittance. You're here for a few days. You want to understand everything. How come this guy is rich? This guy is poor. What's going on? I don't understand. He has better ma'isim. He has less ma'isim. What's happening here? Teach me why it's Sadek V'tov, V'ralov, Rasha V'tov. I don't get it.
If a person lived several hundreds of years at a chunk,
you would have seen that 100 years ago, this family that's now very, very wealthy was very poor. And a different family that was very poor is now very wealthy. And vice versa, it doesn't matter. Vinifchenu, as benisayon. Each one had a nisayon. Zeh benisayon ha'osher, zeh benisayon ha'oni. This family 100 years ago had their test with when they had money. Now they have a test without having money. That's how it goes. Vizeh benisayon ha'oni. V'ne'apach go'olam. Then it flips over. 100 years later.
Aval ata shimei ha'adam k'tsari ma'od. V'ein oro es ha'olam v'inyanav b'kol ha'kefam.
But now that our days are very short, we don't live hundreds of years at a time. We live for 70, 80, 90, 100, Hashem, 120. Okay. Still only one frame. You're not seeing the hamshech, the past or the future. You don't know what went on. You don't know the cheshbonos of how come it's that way. And you're just a guest passing through the city.
Ain't lot of lachkor achar han hagasos shel melech malchem melech hakadosh baruch hu.
We should be asking, being choker, and trying to question and to figure out and to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Person has to have emuna, pshuta, and understand that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, he has a cheshbon, and he does it for the right reason, and it's l'tova. He knows what this person needs, knows what this person needs, knows what this family needs, knows what that family needs. We who think we came here for a short period of time are going to understand all the intricacies and all the understandings of each action of how come it happened and why it happened and how come this is the way that it is. We're not going to be able to figure that out. That's exactly what Chofetz Chaim is talking about here, and that's key. What the Gemara when it says Tzadik v'ralo v'rasha v'tovlo, I don't understand what's going on. Because Rosh Hashanah said, listen, I can't explain it. I can't really explain it to you. Okay? And the Gemara really doesn't have an answer for this question from Moshe Rabbeinu. But this is what we saw in the Gemara a minute ago. Kacha zeh ha'olam. The world goes in cycles. There are different things in the different time periods. And even within one person's life, okay, very often, we don't have to even go back hundreds of years. Something in one person's life itself, he could have a tkufa, a nice tkufa, where things are amazing, and it's wonderful, and he's on top of the world, and then 10 years later, or 5 years later, or 15 years later, depending on whatever happens, okay, all of a sudden, things turn over upside down, and a person who ki'il was on top of the world is no longer on top of the world anymore. Happens all the time. That's how it goes. And these are all things that are mechushban b'shamayim, and this is just part of how the world works. There are nisyonos in every direction. There's the sign of Osher, the sign of Oni, and there's the sign of different living in different places, different time periods, different challenges. There's always nisyonos, and Kadosh Baruch Hu have to have the emuna and the bitachon Kadosh Baruch Hu that the type of nisyonos and the type of situation that a person is in is what Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't make a mistake. Oh, whoops! Got the wrong person. Got the wrong guy. No. This is for each person. This is what Kadosh Baruch Hu meant for you. And a person has to find the strength, find the abilities to attack that head on, deal with it in the best possible fashion, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyat Dishmaya to deal with those particular situations and be successful. But that's really the connection between those two pieces, between the grand beginning of this concept that Anius and Ashirus is something that goes back and forth and that is ever changing and flips over at different time periods. That's what the Chofetz Chaim here also being mentioned, that same concept that we should realize that different things happen at different times for different reasons, and we as simple, poshut humans, even though we think sometimes we're indestructible and we are on top of the world, we have to realize our own place, our limitation of understanding the infinite wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His ways. Okay, we mentioned that the pasuk says that a person gives a machzit shekel. So that will be in order, there won't be a negev. Mashma, that if we don't give us the shekel, there will be a negev. Why is that true? Meaning, if we don't give Master shekel, and we count the people based on numbers, okay? So then there'll be a negev. Daf gets to do it through a Master shekel, which is a kofir nasha, which is the ki'ilu for the person, okay? Is ransom, that's how it's translated, but what it means is some type of being pode yourself by giving machzis shekel. Why is that a pigeon? Well, and why would there be a plague, a potential plague, if we were to count people by number as opposed to counting them by chatzis shekels? So there's a Rabbeinu Bechai here, very, very well known Rabbeinu Bechai also, but Rabbeinu Bechai mentions that bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've mentioned this before, that there's different ways HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends bracha to the world. There's something called Nes Nistar, there's Nes Galui. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've mentioned several times, prefers, so to speak, to do Nisim Nistarim. Everything should be Benistar, everything should be Kiilu Teva HaOlam, and not do things that are Nisim Gluyim, that have to change the norm of the natural course of events and change those. But other things should run smoothly. One of the things he quotes here is that's a Gemara in Tainus mentions that, but a person, before he measures
something comes out to go out to his field. So the Gemara says he wants to daven that Hashem should send bracha to his stuff. Before he counts it, it's okay. But once you count it, and then you daven for it, and you want Hashem to give you a bracha for it, that's already too late. Because ein ha-bracha sharui, ela b'davar ha-samui min ha-ayin. The bracha of Kadosh Baruch Hu, dafka resides in something that is concealed from the eyes. What it means though is, once you put a number on it, to ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to give you bracha at that point, would require a nez galui. Kol od, that you haven't given it a weight or a number specifically, okay? Then, Kadosh Baruch Hu can still do a nace, and it will be getter a nace nistar. Why? Because you didn't know how much there was there, and Hashem can make it multiply into much, much more on that pile. You don't know how much is in that pile. Pile could be tremendous. So that's one of the applications he brings here. But let's look at the second paragraph here. When we are counted, you have to give a kofar nefesh. So there won't be a plague when a Kadosh Baruch Hu looks out and watches over us. We have to make sure we give a chatzi shekel. What's going on? The gilalecha kasuv. The pasuk is teaching us a very important yesod. Ki ha'am hanifrat b'minyano. Kol echa legul gulotam. When people are counted out, one after the other, each one according to their head, okay, has a number. Hinehu mushkach mibal ha'ashkacha yit'aleh. You then are being watched over specifically and individually by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kol ma'asav nifratin lefanav. And all your actions, therefore, are detailed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'az yachul ha-negef. And then, a plague can happen. Why? Because when we are isolated, when each person becomes isolated, and each person is looked at under the magnifying glass of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically you in a vacuum, okay, or on one of those slides, yeah, it goes on the microphone, microscope, yeah. Only you're there. That's it. So Akash Baruch Hu, again, Kiviyachol, can now see all those little things and all the every itty bitty action that you've been doing. That becomes scrutinized by Akash Baruch Hu. Who could stand in front of Akash Baruch Hu with that situation? There's going to be a lot of plague. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be in a lot of trouble. Lo pashut. We don't want to be singled out and be removed from everybody else. Hine mashenkein betchila shaya ino nimshach b'chala rabim, as opposed to in the beginning when everyone was together and we were looked at as a nation of Am Yisrael together, united as one. We have a much better chance of succeeding in that way than when we're all by ourselves, lonely, in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Aval ata b'yos kol yachid v'yachid, v'kol ma'asav nifratin, I afshar mibilti onesh. There won't be an onesh. Of course there's going to be an onesh. Ukinyan sheshiva shunam es lelisha, betoch ami anochi yoshaves. Klomer, eini rotzeh shi titpalel b'shmi ifnei ha-melech, o altar ha-tzava. Mutav li sheye inyani nichlal b'chal harabim, v'lo nifretet pen e'anesh. V'yadua ki osu hayom haya Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, Elisha said to the Isha Shunamis, what can I do for you? You want me to daven to? You want me to go to the Melech and put a gur for you? You want me to go to the? You want me to daven to Gash Baruch Hu? Special for you? Should I go to the Sar Tzava and put a gur for you? He'll protect your house. Special. She said, no, I don't want any. Don't do any of that for me. Shkayach. We're friends of that. I don't need. I'm good. What I want is to just be part of Am Yisrael. Besoch ami anochi yoshaves. I just want to be part of everybody else. Don't single me out. At the second I become singled out, you have to be worthy of that. You have to be able to be able to stand up. You have to be able to back it up with the level of being single and singled out and being on your own. Who can do that? And that was that day. It says Rabbi Nachai was the day of Rosh Hashanah where she didn't want to be singled out and be part of just be happy herself. Umikan ra'ui oso hayom shekol ba'olam avrim lefanav kimei maron sheyeh yom adin u'pkiyat onesh le'olam u'lipacher u'lidog bo.
And therefore, this day of Rosh Hashanah, you should realize now, what happens in Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara says, no matter what happens, this is what takes place in Rosh Hashanah. Is that each person passes in front of a Gosh Baruch Hu, Kibnei Marom, as a sheep. One sheep, two sheep, three sheep, right? We're going to talk for Kai now, right? One at a time. One goes through, one at a time. One, right? They go through. Okay? No jumping back in. Okay? One at a time. So, each person goes, and he says, therefore we have to understand that it's a scary day. It's a very important day. It's a Yom HaDin. And to a degree, we are going to be by ourselves. That is how the din works. And when we're by ourselves, we have to be scared that if Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to scrutinize our ma'asim, what's going to be? The ma'asav nifatim l'ish kedar kav kubim ma'alav. Now, say the Svarim that even in Rosh Hashanah though, the way to get to answer, or the way to be successful, of even on this day, which it is specific and it is one for each person, but part of the success of Rosh Hashanah and a good din is by each person recognizing himself and putting himself out there to be part of the nation, committing to Kadosh Baruch Hu Rosh Hashanah that I want to be part of Am Yisrael, I want to do for Am Yisrael, I want to serve Am Yisrael, I want to serve you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. When that is the person's approach, then even on a day that he is supposedly the most on his own and the most singled out and looked at as an individual, if his commitment is to be a klali person, that is how he will be successful in the Yom HaDin. That's what all the Sfarim talk about, how to be successful mission or successful approach to Rosh Hashanah is, even though we have that concept of being singled out and being an individual, but the way to be attacking that is by being part of the tzibur. And that's exactly what we're learning here, that the negif will happen when people are singled out and everyone has a separate name, everyone has a separate number, and my number is not like your number, so then we're all individuals. When we're individuals, it's dangerous. But when we give a chatzi shekel, even though obviously through the chatzi shekel, okay, we can then figure out who's who and who's what and how many there are, but it's just one big kupa, one big kupa tzedakah. Everyone is in that, is in there, and everyone's a chatzi shekel, but no one's any different than anybody else's. It's all the same. People are collectively, this is Am Yisrael. How many? However many chatzi shekels are, that's Am Yisrael. Okay. That's one big rabbim. Just to mention one last point while we're on the same point, and that's also, okay, once we're on a derech hamusar for 1 second, that's also the vort Chaim Volozhin writes in Perkei Avos, where he discusses the concept that a person says, "Al yispalo adam yechidi." The person should not daven by himself. Says Reb Chaim, "What's the big deal? As mayish, daven by yourself. They don't daven at tzibur. Ah, it's probably daven at tzibur. It's a nice thing. It's ra'ui for Moshe. It's chiyuv. Okay, we can be a falpil. Okay, how much of a chiyuv that is? The Rosh Hashanah says, "Yishtadel yispalo at tzibur." But why is it so bad? A person should daven by themselves. Says Chaim Volozhin in Perkei Avos, Ruach HaChaim, he says that when you daven by yourself, so the same point, it's the same nekuda as what happens. When you daven, and you want your tefillah to go to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's what we all want, right? So when you daven with Tzibur, and there's lots of different people there, and there are people who are on a very high madrega, people who are on a little lower madrega, people who are different madregas, and Kadosh Baruch Hu has all kinds of cheshbainas, and the tefillahs all go up together to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then, you're part of the rabbim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Oh, I'll take that shul. I'll take that tefillah. I'll take that minyan. I'll take those tefillahs." When a person sends his own tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu, says, "Here, I have a special message for you, Kadosh Baruch Hu." Sends it to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, "Whew, where'd that come from? Oh, it's a Shmerel. Oh, let's see how Shmerel. What's going on with that guy? How's he doing? Let's take out his report card from yesterday and the day before. Let's see how Shmerel's doing. Shmuel's not doing so well. So he says the tefillah gets ripped up. Meaning, when you're sending your tefillah up special, you have to be zoche. That tefillah should be miskabel. What schuyas do you have? Whatever your schuyas are. If you have schuyas to send up a tefillah by yourself, great! So the Chaim Volozhin, who feels they have the ability, and they have the madrega to send a tefillah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu?
on their own. An individual tefillah that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should receive, because I'm on such a high madriga that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should receive my personal tefillah that I'm signing to him. Who thinks that? Who thinks that way? See, and that's dafka the reason why davening with a tzibur, we have a haftacha that a tzibur's tefillah, Kadosh Baruch Hu will receive a tzibur's tefillah, because when there's a rabbim, and we're part of a rabbim, okay, we're part of the klal, we're part of Am Yisrael, that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at us as well, and we're not scrutinized, and mamash under that microscope, looking at every little dot, okay, that's on us, we're not looked at that. We're looked at as a much more klali entity called Am Yisrael. Yes? Yeah, that all I've been talking about, how we're all part of something. We're all part of one. We're all part of a chetzi of a whole. Okay? And each person in Am Yisrael is something small, but part of something great. That's definitely a chelik of the idea. Okay. Let's go. Yeah?
How was the original idea that Aaron brought the Ark of the Covenant and Aaron applied to Masa
Shekel? So to here, it's just the reverse, okay? Is that the rega that we're singled out. Okay, same way we mentioned before, that once something is singled out, okay, there's bracha won't be shorei on anymore, and more than that, even he says, Rebbeinu Chaya says the ayin hara can be shorei on something that is singled out by itself. Same thing is true here. When we're counted by a head count, and everyone has their own separate number, then we'd be in trouble. Then we'd have a negev. To counteract that, we have the kofar nafsho. We give a pigeon for ourselves, in order that shouldn't happen to us. We could have been in that situation, but we're not going to have that ultimately. Okay, let's go to the middle of the sheet here. The big piece in the middle here. It's a beautiful idea. It probably was quoted also this year at some point, but it's worth it. If there's one guy in the room who hasn't heard it yet, it's good to hear it again. Shara Yosher in Hakdama talks about the major part of the parsha, which is the Moshe Rabbeinu smashing the luchos. Says Shara Yosher, I don't get it. What was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking? Okay, you got upset. I understand. So, Kaisos Bichote, I understand. Why are you going to smash the luchos? What were you thinking? Did Moshe Rabbeinu think? I mean, he was told many times by Kadosh Baruch Hu that the ultimate of Am Yisrael is getting the Torah on Har Sinai. Okay? He knew it obviously was our lifeline, and that Hashem created the whole entire universe, Yom HaShishi, for the Torah. Did he think that we were going to continue to exist without Torah? Like, what was his Havamina? And he says, I got a much better idea. Don't smash the luchos. Just say, you know what? You guys are not ready for this right now. You're not holding by the Madriga. I'm going to hold on to them. Yeah, I'll give them back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, I'll build an Aron. I'll put them in there. And when you guys behave nicely and you're good boys, we're going to give you the Torah. Right now, you're being nasty and naughty, and not giving you the Torah now. You're doing Egos Zav. I can't give you the Torah right now. Why smash them? What's the point of smashing the Luchos? The Mashal Muvan. So says Shai Yosher. He says here in the fourth line, he says, Hayitachin Shosh Rabbeinu Allah Hashem Hayach Hoshev Shebishvil Shasu Yisrael Ta'egel Yisharu B'li Torah Chatz V'Shalom Hayaru Ulam Din Shashi Yitaknu Ma'aseyim. Let them fix their ways, and then he can teach them, but not to smash them. The thing is, then go diving for another set of luchos. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So listen to what he says now here. Unbelievable. He says here, in the sixth line, Chazal told us, based on a Gemara in Eruvin, that there was a special skula to the first luchos. The Gemara says there, charut al haluchot. Okay, they'll be chiseled onto the pieces of stone. But what it means really is, they'll be chiseled onto us, onto our hearts. If not for the fact that the luchos were destroyed and smashed, then what would have happened is anyone who learns Torah would have known Torah and would never have forgotten Torah. Why is that? Because this skula, everything about the luchos Hashonos was made from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was designed by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was written by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It came from the Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands, kiviyachol. Therefore, like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's lenetzach. Everything about the luchos Hashonos would have been lenetzach netzachim. It would have lasted forever. What's the problem with that? The following. She'im la'mar adam pa'am achas hayash shamur b'zichrono le'olam. He hid ever forever. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't like that. He looked down at Chayam and said, look, well, I don't get it. People like this, doing chet ha'egel, dancing around the egel, these people, we're going to give them Torah, and a Torah that no matter what they do, once they've learned it, anything they've learned is going to stick to them forever. There are going to be people who are doing tremendous chata'im, terrible things of Avodah Zarah, but they're going to be full of Torah. This doesn't make any sense. That's not how it should be. We shouldn't have people who are great, great, great minds and they have this special kedusha of Torah in them, but yet their actions are so inconsistent to who they are. That's such a stirum in Eubay within Torah. That's not how it's supposed to be. He says, this is going to be Trans-Chilos Chil Hashem. Afshar, 9 lines down, 10 lines down, is Damen She'ish Mushchas, Umigu'av Ma'asimra, a person is going to be corrupt and a disgusting individual, and acts inappropriately, but he's Baki B'kol Chedri HaTorah. That can't be. That's a terrible way to be. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu Matzah, that you should destroy the Luchos. And he'll try to get different Luchos. And therefore, since the first ones were all by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was too special. It was too holy for us. Haluchos HaRachona Yumaisa Adam. Psalucha Shnei Luchos Avanim. You have to go ahead and do them, Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, since they were done, Ayedei Adam, Ayedei Maisa Adam, they're not Mizkayim Lo'olam. The same way a Basar Adam is not Mizkayim Lo'olam, what he creates is not Mizkayim Lo'olam. And therefore, this is the clincher now. The way Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah afterwards is an example for everybody for the future generations. The same way Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Psalcha, shnei luchos avanim, you have to prepare for yourself two luchos." Meaning, you have to have what it means to prepare two luchos. What he's saying now is everybody has to prepare for themselves luchos. You got to prepare tablets. What do you mean to prepare tablets? He wasn't referring to Samsungs. He wasn't referring to the iPads. Tablets. What he meant was, you have to prepare yourself. You yourself are a tablet for Torah to be written on. You have to be an individual. You have to have the proper hug, you have the proper hashkaf, you have the proper midos if you want Torah to be chal on you. Sheyachin kol ish Yisrael luchos la'atzmo. Prepare for yourself luchos. Lichtov alehem dvar Hashem. Ukifi hachshavraso b'hachanas haluchos kein tiye kabalaso. According to how much you prepare your own luchos, i.e. you prepare yourself, and you perfect yourself, and you act in a way that's a kiddush Hashem, proportionally to that, that's how much Torah is going to stick with you. Mitchila, v'chein achareza, yiz kaku etzlo luchos, ako yizkayim haTorah. Meaning, the switch of luchos shnios was that there's going to be a proportional arrangement that between how a person is and how they act to how much Torah they can retain and hold on to. Not like the first luchos, then no matter how you acted, the Torah stuck to you because that's how it was created, the etzbe elokim. No, now it's maisa adam. Maisa adam comes and goes. If you are worthy and you're befitting and you're appropriate, Torah will be with you. And if you're not, you'll be nishtakeach Torah from you. And that's all dependent on how we prepare ourselves. And therefore, we don't have to be scared anymore. Ki lefi erech ma'ilas ha'adam b'yiras Hashem v'midos shu luach levavo, according to our midos and our yirashemayim, which is the tablets, lefi that, that's how much kinyan Torah a person is going to have. And therefore, you'll need, by definition, by Luchos Shnios, you need to have Amal HaTorah. A person has to invest, and a person not only has to invest time in Torah, but he has to invest time in himself. He has to make himself a Kli, a Luach HaLev, a tablet that Torah can be written onto. It's two parts of the individual, his actions, and then putting the Torah, connecting to that individual. That is what was special about the Luchos. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, by looking at Am Yisrael and seeing that scene, it wasn't enough to just put it away. Because, well, same thing would have happened later on. The same Luchos, which are special, that, so people would continue sinning, and then they'd be able to attach to Torah and be full of Torah, which would never leave them. And they would never forget. And that's not appropriate. Why should a person be zochah to that? Okay. I think it's an important, very important lesson for us to realize. Okay, number one, there's a question on the parasha: what happens here? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu smash the luchos? This doesn't really make sense. The question is very good. Just put them away and just do tshuva and give them to her afterwards. The next day, the next week, whatever it is that they're deserving of it. But once you understand that. This is how the new luchos, the new and we'll call it the new and improved version, okay, of luchos is that it's dependent upon and proportionate to a number one, a person's amelus. You can't just read it one time and stick. If you want Torah, you have to invest in it. You have to put time into it. You have to put energy into it. You have to work hard at it. It's not going to happen by itself. Number one, and that was not like luchos rishonos. And number two, even if you do all that. A person has to be a person who's ra'i for Torah. His actions and his speech and his hanhaga, his behavior, has to be appropriate that Torah should be inside of that type of a person. And not like luchos rishonos, where a person could have done whatever they wanted and sin and have to do avodah zarah and be mechalal the Torah, and yet Torah be stuck to him because that's just how the Torah was. It was a skula, it was special in Torah, because it all came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the same meat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is forever, so too the Torah was infused forever with the first luchos. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu could not fathom and could not live with the fact that that is how the Torah would be carried on and carried out through the generations with people who are not appropriate individuals who are carrying around much Torah inside of themselves. Okay, the last quick board, almost 2 minute board. End of the parsha, is one I just can't skip. The end of the parsha says that Moshe Rabbeinu walked down from Har Sinai and he was beaming. Okay, he had Karan or Panav. He had these beams coming out of his forehead, lights on his forehead. What's pshat? So the different pshatim, where did he get the? How did those lights? Where did they come from? How was he zochet to them? What was the source of creating that light? One of the pirushim in Chazal say. That third line here says it was Nishar Dio Bekumus Vehaviru Amitzcho Umizek Karnupanav. Meaning, with the pen, the quill that he was writing the luchos with, there was a drop left in them. He wiped it across his forehead, and that drop created the beams of light that came off his forehead. What is that? What is the drop that's left? It says the Hashem on the bottom. I don't understand. What? Because Baruch Hu couldn't give Moshe Rabbeinu the exact amount of ink. He couldn't figure out how much ink he needed to use. He had to leave over one drop. I mean, some of you could have figured out how to get down to one drop. You could have figured out how not to have one drop. Why does there have one drop left? What does it make any sense? So look at what he says now. Beautiful idea. Yesh tomar, five lines down. The Baldur Amez, the Iker, is a very important yisod. There is always something left in Torah that can't be written down and can't be explained. There's something about the spirit and the feeling we call ruach haTorah. Okay, there's something that's like in between the lines that is not. It can't always be explained and fleshed out. Okay, in words. But there's a spirit, and there's a spirit of the law, there's a spirit of the Torah, of how to do things. And that's part of Judaism, it's part of the Torah, even though it's not written specifically anywhere. And even if it's only a custom that our forefathers did, person has to know this is the proper way to act, this is the improper way to act. There are some things that are just, this is a Jew, this is how we act, this is how we are. Where does it say? Show me where it says in the Shulchan Aruch, where does it say exactly? It's not in the Shulchan Aruch. There is an avira, there is a perspective, there is a feel, there's a flavor of Torah that comes out from Torah that is not specifically written black on white somewhere. It's in between the lines. It's really reading and feeling the feeling the Torah, feeling and understanding that there's things underneath what the Torah mentions. He quotes one example here. He says, "She." But that's how people acted. So he brings an example. Thought about the example, but just for simply hits here. He quotes here that there are people nowadays who walk around. He says the young generation, and they walk around with very, very, very small, tiny kippahs that you can't hardly even see them. And they say, when you ask them, what, how come you walk around that can't keep it? They say, where does it say in Shulchan Aruch that you have to have a big kippah? It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. And they're right. Shulchan Aruch does not say how big your kippah has to be. It doesn't say. Aval, chush ha-yehudi margish she'enon nachon. That a person understands, though, that just by intuitively, you understand that that for Torah, it's not how it's supposed to be. If you're a from Jew, a God-fearing Jew, and your person is not embarrassed of who they are, you don't have to wear a little thing, the back, so that nobody can see it. Doesn't have to say it in Shulchan Aruch. It's just that's how it is. That's how we do things. That's how we behave. And that's always what that last drop, okay, was saying, that you know what, even after everything's written, some things are not written. And you know what? Those things, I would even say one more extra line, those things Moshe Rabbeinu put across his forehead, and that's Dafka, the beam of light that shines out of the Yehudi that says, I'm a Jew. And some of those things are not necessarily even written. They're just, that's how we are. That's who we are. That's the flavor of the Torah. That's the flavor of understanding the mitzvahs. The flavor of understanding our avodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yeah, it doesn't have to be written ad ha nikudah achrona. Okay, every last little bitty thing. There is something about just it's intuitive of how we should be, how we should act, what's appropriate, how we should conduct ourselves. What does it mean to be a Jew? And those things, obviously, not to be memayate what's written. There's lots that's written also. There's no shortage of what's written. But even what's not written, okay, with something called the fifth chelka shulchan aruch, the things that are a little bit less. Express it and less explicit, okay? But it doesn't make it any less important, okay? And therefore, the things that are out there that we should pay attention to, those are dafka things sometimes that show us and reflect of how we are really a Jew and how we're really connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we have to really tap into the flavor and the taste of what really the Torah wants from us, even in situations where it's not written. We have to ask, what does the Torah want? How should we act? What would the right way for a Jew to be in this situation? And that's that last drop of Dio, that ink, that wasn't written, but is clearly really, really important, but that's how we shine out of who we really are.